Today we head into the final home stretch of the Grey Lodge. We'll discuss the Big Ed and Norma romance. We meet Philip Jeffries. We talk about percolators, electricity's flaring up. And we get one of the most important scenes in Hollywood history, the passing of the Log Lady. Join me today in the Grey Lodge as we discuss Twin Peaks: The Return, Part 15, There's Some Fear in Letting Go. All right, things are picking up. Nadine is marching around town with her gold shovel that she got from the Dr. Amp Boner Juice store. And she heads over to Big Ed's gas farm. And she had this realization from Dr. Amp, who keeps telling her to dig herself out of the shit, that she's been holding him back their entire lives, and that she's decided he's free to go be with Nadine. With Norma. Sorry. Let me update my notes here. Which is nice, right? See, not all conspiracy theorists sow hate and discord. Some of them do good. And one question I had, I already thought they were split up for some reason. I don't know why. I guess I just thought that. But apparently they weren't, or maybe they were just separated. Regardless, Big Ed, he's going to take advantage of this. Kind of like when Nadine had the, in season two, when she thought she was a teenager, he was like, all right, let's go. So he heads to the Double R Diner. We hear Otis Redding queue up. And we're hoping, we're like, come on, Lynch, don't tease us again, please. He gets in there, finds Norma, tells her, hey, Nadine's giving me my freedom, and I think it's time for us to be together. But wait, here comes Walter to ruin the mood. So Walter and Norma sit down, and she tells him she wants out of the financing business, or the franchising business of the Double R Diner. She's just going to manage the best one, the Twin Peaks one. And he gets pissed off and storms out. Bad move, Walter, because you got yourself Big Ed, a bona fide Vietnam vet hero, and he's ready to fill your shoes. So Norma walks over to Big Ed. They get down on some smooching. He asks her to marry him, and she says yes. My God, a love story in Twin Peaks come to fruition. Can you believe it? Total goosebump scene. Wonderful scene if you haven't watched it. It's great. But don't get too excited, because the next scene, we got the electricity crackling, and we got black skies. And it's Mr. C. He's driving in the middle of the night. He pulls up to the convenience store, right? We haven't seen this, I don't believe, since part 8 with the Trinity Blast, when we saw the woodsman meandering around the convenience store. A woodsman greets him in the parking lot. And if you pay attention, there's a song that plays in the captions for the one version I watched. It told me it was the Threnody for the Victims of Hiroshima. This is a track dedicated to the residents of Hiroshima that were killed by the atomic bomb. Obviously, clearly, another nod to, hey, pay attention to this, right? So the woodsman leads Mr. C up the stairs. They dissipate, and they are now in a different room. It looks like the room from Fire Walk With Me, that framed image that Tremond gave to Laura Palmer, and she put on her wall. If you remember, it's like very dark, very black wallpaper with flowers on it. And Mr. C tells the woodsman who's sitting there standing guard or whatever he's doing, he's like, I'm looking for Philip Jeffries. So he cues up another woodsman to escort him through this labyrinth of dark hallways and stairs. It's got to be the Black Lodge. I mean, it's pitch black. Everyone's pitch black. No doubt. This is Black Lodge territory. So they finally go out of a door and they come out in the courtyard of a motel, or maybe it's an apartment. I don't know. It reminded me of Fire Walk With Me. Oh man, what scene was that? The one where you see David Lynch's kid with the dick nose mask jumping around in the parking lot. I think it's called like the Ruby Court or something. It kind of looked like that. I should dig into that maybe. But anyway, doesn't really matter. Mr. C, he knowingly walks straight up to a door that he wants to get into, and this room is room 8. All right? The number 8 will play a bigger role in, I think, episode 17 or 18. I'm not sure. We're going to come back to that. It's the infinity symbol. It's the Ouroboros in a way, right? The snake eating its own tail. Rebirth, resurrection, recycle, that kind of thing. But anyway, another woman comes up. She's speaking in reverse. So, yes, we're in the Black Lodge territory. And she's like, I'll unlock the door. So she does. He goes in. It's, again, another dark room. We got a flickering light reminding me of the pilot when Cooper goes to see the body of Laura Palmer and the light's flickering in the, like, morgue or whatever. And then again in part one of Twin Peaks The Return when the flashlight's flickering, you know, the detective. Anyway, so he goes in this room, the flickering light, and then out of nowhere, this sort of different chamber manifests. And there's this giant metal thing that I don't know how to describe besides calling it a giant coffee percolator. And I haven't looked this up. I'm confident that the Twin Peaks community refers to this as a percolator. I could be wrong, but it looks like a giant percolator. And recall two episodes or three episodes ago, Miriam's trailer, the camera zoomed past a percolator. I kind of misled you and I said, oh, it's like the fish in the percolator. No. That's a reference for Philip Jeffries, I think. We didn't know that yet. So, but now we know that Philip Jeffries is apparently a giant coffee percolator. So Mr. C proceeds to have a conversation with this steaming percolator that is apparently Philip Jeffries. I'm going to play the whole thing for you, and then we're going to recap how this conversation goes. So take a listen.
Jeffries.
Thank God.
Why did you send Ray to kill me?
What? I called Ray.
So you did send him. Did you call me 5 days ago?
I don't have your number.
So it was someone else who called me.
We used to talk.
Yes, we did.
Well, now, I'm not going to talk about Judy. In fact, we're not going to talk about Judy at all.
1989. You showed up at FBI headquarters in Philadelphia and said you'd met Judy.
So, you are Cooper.
Philip, why didn't you want to talk about Judy? Who is Judy? Does Judy want something from me?
Why don't you ask Judy yourself? Let me write it down for you.
Who is Judy?
You've already met Judy.
What do you mean I've met Judy? Who is Judy? Who is Judy?
It's interesting because Mr. C gets in there and sees a giant percolator who says it's Philip Jeffries. And the first question he asks is, did you send Ray to kill me? I mean, this shows you how absurd the world of Twin Peaks is. But Mr. C recalls the Philly offices of 1989 when Jeffries coming in and said how we're not going to talk about Judy. And Jeffries says to him, so you are the real Cooper. Meaning Jeffries knows about the doppelgangers, knows about the Tulpas, and is questioning who's who at this point. So Jeffries says, go ahead and Jeffries said, okay, so he's asking Jeffries about Judy, and Jeffries like, go ahead and ask her for yourself. And he starts steaming out some numbers, which are coordinates. These must be the coordinates, right? And then Jeffries also gives a clue and says, Mr. C, you've already met Judy. But recall that Jeffries is talking, implying that he's talking to Cooper. So he means Cooper met Judy. That's a big clue, I think. Big clue. I gotta make it in my notes because I still haven't got a final theory on what's going on in Twin Peaks, just so you know. I'm still working on this. So major clues here. Mr. C or Cooper already met Judy. Cooper, I would say, based upon this facade that Jeffries either knows or is playing along that this is actually Cooper. Or thinks or is playing along that this is actually Cooper. So Mr. C ends up leaving at this point, but he gets to his truck in the parking lot. Richard Horn greets him with a peace. And he's mad because he says, my mom has a photo of you. And he knows that he's an FBI agent because he thinks it's Cooper, right? And remember, Richard Horn was at the arm wrestling gang hideout, and he saw Mr. C in there. And now he's like, oh, that's a Fed. So who's his mother? Well, it's Audrey Horn. We now know this. I postulated that. I said it was either Audrey was his mother or Johnny is his father. It surely is Audrey is the mother, and now we've confirmed it. Mr. C promptly beats his ass and disarms him. Tells him, get in the truck, we'll talk on the way. Presumably, they're headed to the coordinates that Philip Jeffries gave for Judy. Mr. C texts Las Vegas? To Diane, presumably. So they leave the convenience store, and after they leave, it flashes and disappears. Strange. Back in Twin Peaks, Steven is in the woods tripping off some kind of drugs. He's got this other girlfriend with him consoling him. He ends up killing himself. He ends up shooting himself. And the camera shots make it seem as if the woods, the darkness of the Ghostwood National Forest is what prompted him to do that. Then, and then there was a guy walking his dog in the woods who saw Steven and the girl. And he ends up going to the trailer park to tell Carl Rod what he saw. When I watched the credits for this episode, I didn't realize at the time that was Mark Frost that played that character. So, fun fact. Then we head to the Roadhouse. They're playing ZZ Top's Sharp Dressed Man. James and Freddie, the security guards for Great Northern, they're at the Roadhouse. James sees Renee, says hi to her. But remember, Renee's married. Come on, James. So the husband, sensing a threat, gets up and starts a fight with James. Because he knows what James is capable of. James is pulling all the girls in Twin Peaks. But Freddy's got that green power glove. And he steps in and punches the husband. And damn near kills him. And punches the dude's husband's friend. And damn near kills him. And you'll notice if you watch the scene, when he punches, the music skips. Right? Proving that the firemen, or like the lodges, are using electricity as a conduit to the world. And he's harnessing some kind of power through that. And it's causing a surge in the music. Back in Las Vegas, Chantel makes quick work of tying up the Mr. Todd and Roger. Mr. Todd that we've been seeing periodically throughout the show in Las Vegas. She goes in there and caps him right in the head and caps Roger in the head. They're dead. That storyline wraps up abruptly. And then her and Hutch later, they go get some fast food. They make excuses for why they should be allowed to murder people, whatever. So James and Freddie, they get in trouble. Now they're in the jail of Twin Peaks with Chad and Chad's sort of weird doppelganger and Nato, the woman with no eyes that Andy retrieved from the forest. Back in Vegas, Janie E is still turned out by Dougie. He's eating some chocolate cake. He's mashing some buttons on the remote control. And then a major event happens Take a listen to this.
I'm not worried. Everything will be fine.
The old team together again. Nothing can stop us.
The old team. Yeah. Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, Mr. Neal.
How'd it go?
It couldn't have gone better. It's practically set. Gordy has to finish this picture first. Mine will be his next.
Get Gordon Cole. Tell him to forget about our car. Tell him he can get another old car someplace.
Dougie mashes buttons on the remote and it turns the TV on. And again, another synchronicity of the universe guiding him on his journey. It's a movie called Sunset Boulevard, and he hears the name Gordon Cole. And he, you can see, immediately cues in. He has a strong reaction. And then he fixates on an electrical socket. Remember, he's been looking at these electrical sockets, and he crawls towards it with a fork. And he proceeds to shove it in. And that's where the scene ends, is him zapping himself. Now, I've done that with a paperclip. And I'm here to tell you, it's not going to take you to another realm or dimension. I still feel it. I was a kid when I did it. And I can still feel like the numbness in my arm. It's weird. Not feel it, but like I can remember. I can recall the feeling. It's very strange. Meanwhile, man, we get... So the log lady, she calls Hawk with a final message. Incredibly sad, too. I say this is one of the most iconic scenes in the entire show, even Hollywood history, because of the actual storyline behind this. I'm going to play it, and then we'll elaborate on it. She basically tells Hawk that she's dying, and this is her final message. Take a listen.
Deputy Hawk? Deputy Hawk, Margaret Lannerman's on line one.
Okay, Lucy. Margaret, what can I do for you?
Hawk. I'm dying.
I'm sorry, Margaret.
You know about death. That it's just a change, not an end. Hawk. It's time. There's some fear. Some fear in letting go. Remember what I told you. I can't say more over the phone. But you know what I mean. From our talks, when we were able to speak face to face, watch for that one. The one I told you about. The one under the moon on Blue Pine Mountain. Hawk. My log is turning gold. The wind is moaning. I'm dying. Good night, Hawk.
Good night, Margaret. Goodbye, Margaret.
So the log lady tells Hawk she's dying, and she says death is just a change, not an end. And she says there's some fear in letting go, which is the episode title, right? And she refers to the conversations they had in person. She says, watch out for the one under the moon on the Blue Pine Mountain. She says, I can't tell you anymore over the phone, meaning the lodge entities can sort of pick up electricity and phone. They're tapping phone calls, apparently. And she says, my log is turning gold. The wind is moaning. I'm dying. Good night, Hawk. Now, when she says her log is turning gold, we see throughout Twin Peaks these golden orbs representing a person's spirit or a soul in Twin Peaks. So I think she's also saying that when my body leaves this realm, when I die, my husband, the log, is also going to turn gold and leave its, material realm with me, is how I read that. A little nice little love story, I think. And Hawk just says, good night, Margaret, and then hangs up. And then after they hang up, he says, goodbye, Margaret. Like, he considers, and he kind of has a smile. Like, he considers death as, he's a spiritual dude, right? Death is another realm. It's not the end. And maybe this isn't as sad. So, a lot of questions here. Who's the one she warned him of in person? The one under the moon on Blue Pine Mountain is all we know, But another idea is that she could be referring to alchemy. I don't know if that really fits here, because alchemy is about turning lead into gold. Maybe there's a reference there, but it's not a strong symbolism there. But the whole thing is that Margaret Lanterman's the log lady, Catherine Coulson, she actually died. We already talked about this. And then Hawk brings everyone in the conference room and they have a moment of sort of mourning that the log lady passed. She's such an iconic character in the world of Twin Peaks. And it's an epic scene when you consider that she actually died and she was so tied into the mythology element of Twin Peaks. Like, this isn't the silly cherry pie love story side of Twin Peaks. This is the mythology of prophecy and supernatural stuff, right? And it was, the saga of the log lady is the full Twin Peaks experience, from her alien abduction as a child to prophecies of Laura being the one. And we talked about how she died literally after they filmed this. They filmed her final scenes and she died. And when David Lynch decided he was going to film Twin Peaks The Return, him and Frost, of course, they had to hurry up and film her scenes over Zoom from where she was at because she was like so sick, right? But she wanted to be a part of it. And I think I interviewed Scott Ryan, who wrote a couple of books about Twin Peaks. And he told us about, I think it was Scott Ryan who told us about his experience of meeting Catherine Coulson in Twin Peaks. It was Scott Ryan right before she died. Anyway, sad times, right? So over to Audrey. Her and Charlie are still arguing about going to the Roadhouse, and now it's getting physical, and now she's choking him and telling him how much she hates him. Audrey's always been cheeky from the pilot when she put her pencil in the coffee cup, but not like this. And good night. Are they ever going to leave this house? I suppose we're jumping around and seeing different events happening over one night, but still, I mean, good Lord. This is not the Audrey Horne we wanted, not the Audrey Horne I wanted. Waiting 25 years, I didn't wait that long, but because I missed the bus on all of Twin Peaks. Then we go to the roadhouse, so we know where things are going to wrap up. There's an Asian woman who gets kicked out of her seats by a couple of bikers. You know what? James's biker gang would never. They would never. And she crawls around and starts screaming. And that's where the episode ends. What the hell? How strange. And if you watch the credits, you'll see that the woman in the woods was Steven. And look, I only know this from after the fact, but that was played by Alicia Witt. And that is Gersten Hayward. That is Donna's sister, right? Last time we saw her was playing the piano as a little girl in season 2. And I talked about her in my Long Legs episode. I did a film analysis of Long Legs and so on. So, next job for you, Twin Peaks The Return, part 16, No Knock, No Doorbell. This starts the final three episodes, the trifecta of perfect Twin Peaks world. Perfect Twin Peaks episodes. Arguably, maybe the best episode. Some are saying they're saying they're the best episodes of Twin Peaks. You could argue that these next three are going to be the most iconic. The first time I watched season 3, I wasn't into it that much. The second time, I still was like, season 1 and 2 are better. But then after, now I don't even know how many viewings I've got, because I kind of watch each episode a few times. Like, I'll watch it, take notes, watch it again, take some more notes, watch it again to remind myself before I record for you guys and grab some clips and stuff. So I've probably watched it 6 times now, but this final three is, we're talking bangers on bangers. So there you go. Check out the next episode. Come back here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting. Stay positive.